You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Why Not Mint Money. I'm your host for the show today, and today we have our guest as Mr. Anup Vijayakumar. He is a fund manager for Capital Minds Momentum PMS portfolio, and he has worked across various organizations and with an experience of over 15 years. And today he is here to share his words of wisdom on momentum investing.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
So hi, Anup. Hi, how are you? And thanks for joining in for this podcast today.
Hi, Anil. Hi. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me here. Looking forward to an interesting discussion on momentum investing.
Yes. So Anup, can you just explain what a momentum investing is and how it differs from, you know, other investment strategies?
So the core idea of momentum investing is very straightforward. It's rather simplistic in a way. The core principle is that the price, an asset of which has gone up in price over the recent past, is likely to continue going up, at least for a decent amount of time.
Okay.
And so the way this kind of plays out is, I would almost think of it in terms of, if you were to, let's say, go to a racing track, right? And you're trying to pick the winning horse.
Yeah.
One way to do it, or the fundamental way of doing it, would be you would look at the horse, you would look at its lineage, meaning what, you know, who were the horse's parents, what is the diet that the horse is on, what kind of workout and what kind of exercise that horse has been doing, what were its past, you know, top speeds, etc. And then decide, you know, is it likely to do well in the next race or not? Momentum investing, you would turn up at the racetrack, you would look for the horse that has won its past five races, and then put your money on that horse. So it's basically relying on the market to tell you.
As to
the price telling you which stocks are likely to do better or do well in the near future.
Okay. So that's a very interesting way to put things. Anup, the horse's example makes pretty much things very simple. And what are some key factors, you know, which one should consider before identifying this as a momentum stock or asset?
So, So simplistically, you're looking for something that has done well in the recent past, but you've got like a universe of 500, 600 stocks to pick from, right? So what you would need to do is, you would need to define what you would call momentum. So you could, in a simple manner, you could just look at the last 12 months of return, or you could look at the last 6 months of return, or you could look at combining the two and saying, what is the average of the last 12 months and the 6 months of return? There are, you know, slightly more
sophisticated. The return should be higher, is it what you have to say?
No, so it's basically you're taking, let's say you take the last 12 months of return for every stock in the universe. That's 500 or 600 stocks. And then you would rank them in descending order. So you, the top decile of stocks, which are the stocks which have done the best over the last 12 months, are your candidates for being in the momentum portfolio. Now, what makes an ideal momentum stock is one that has gone up, but also gone up in a consistent and a less volatile manner. So maybe two contrasting examples would be, let's say company A, which has been improving fundamentally over the period of the last 3-4 quarters, where you know, they're adding new products, they're adding new distribution channels, they're entering new geographies. All of this is happening over the course of, you know, several months, 14 months. And each of those pieces of good news comes to the market, you know, in sort of drips and drabs.
Okay.
And it's fundamentally improving the prospects of the company. So because of that, the price of this company now consistently moves up because its future earnings potential has been going up. That that is one type of a stock versus one that which has been fairly flat, let's say, for 6-8 months. And then one piece of news comes out. You know, it could be something about regulation. It could be the government, you know, introducing anti-dumping duties on a particular commodity because of it jumps up 15-20% all of it in one day. So between the two stocks, the first type of stock is a better momentum stock because its price rise is less volatile. It has been happening consistently, and it is on the basis of improvement in its underlying fundamentals. So those are the kind of stocks you would ideally want to hold in your momentum portfolio. And the second kind of stock is the one that you would want to avoid, because if it can go up 3% in one day, it might as well just fall that much on another day basis, based on some bad news as well. So the idea of momentum is, pick a portfolio of stocks which show consistent price rise over a certain period of time, hold them for, again, a defined period of time, and then repeat that exercise every, either it could be 6 months or 3 months or 1 month, depending on your rebalance frequency.
Right. So you would say that, okay, it's not just the price that one should look at, it's also the fundamentals which should improve, keep improving with the price.
I'll make a distinction here. So a pure momentum investor is not actually looking at fundamentals. Oh. Pure momentum investor is relying on the price or a consistent rise in price to point to an improvement in fundamentals. So it's almost like you're saying, if the price has been going up consistently over a period of time, that means things are probably improving, at least in terms of actual fundamentals, or at least the perception of that company's future prospects. So purely a pure momentum investor is not really looking at the balance sheet or the profit and loss. But what we have found, or basis my analysis of which kind of stocks of companies have done well in momentum portfolios, that typically tends to be the case where it is improving fundamentally consistently over a period of time. And that's what gives us those significant outsized returns.
Right. And my next question is to you, that how do you manage risk in the momentum's investing strategy? Are there any risk? And if yes, then how does one manage it?
Yeah, so risk management is key in pretty much any investment strategy, and as well in momentum as well. So I think there's three ways to think about how you would manage risk, right? So one is to think about how many stocks you're going to hold in your momentum portfolio. So one, you know, whether it's 5, 10, 15, or 20. And we've done the analysis and we find that holding between 20 and 30 stocks gives you the right amount of diversification. Because by holding that many stocks, you're typically invested across a bunch of different sectors or different range of companies. And you're not depending on one or two companies to kind of either take your portfolio up or down. So that's one. Your rebalance frequency itself acts as a key risk management
factor. Yeah.
So how often or how frequently do you look at the portfolio and make changes to it is going to determine. So if you were to look at it every 6 months, there is a risk that some of the stocks might have lost momentum and they would be correcting, and you would still keep holding them for that period of time and therefore suffer significant drawdowns.
Right.
On the other side, you could relook at the portfolio at higher frequencies, let's say 1 month, in which case you are catching the stocks which have lost momentum earlier and you're exiting them and replacing stocks. Obviously, the downside to that is you have slightly higher churn in a strategy that relooks at the portfolio on a more frequent basis. So those are two things. And then the other things that we have found over time is to have certain specific stock level signals of near-term price. If the price breaks below certain thresholds in the near term, then that to us acts as an exit signal. So when any stock breaks below that, then at the next rebalance, that stock goes out and gets replaced. When overall, let's say across the universe, let's say there's a correction happening, which is, you know, broad market correction, and nothing is now meeting those near-term entry filters, that's when we move out of stocks completely and move into alternate assets. Either it could be gold, it could be debt, it could be cash, which is kind of what happened in, let's say, the correction in March 2020.
Right,
Starting February itself, stocks were losing momentum. And as we kind of relooked at the portfolio, gold sort of was starting to show stronger momentum than stocks itself. So progressively allocated out of equities into gold as well as cash. So those three together, like the number of holdings, your rebalance frequency, and your specific signals in terms of when to move out a particular stock, will act as your risk management factors in a momentum portfolio.
Right. So the idea is to have the balanced diversification as well as the second you said, the set of rebalancing frequency can help, and as well as some signals which can help mitigate the risk while, you know, applying momentum strategy.
Correct. So the traditional way of trying to manage risk would be to set stop losses at a stock level, right? So a lot of traders tend to do that, saying that if the stock falls 10 or 15%, I'm going to get out. That doesn't somehow seem to work in momentum. If you were to do stock level stop losses, instead, the rebalance frequency tends to act as that risk mitigator, where stocks that have fallen significantly will automatically be candidates for exit, and they'll be replaced by other stocks which are showing positive momentum.
Right. And can you share some successful examples of momentum investing stories that have happened in the past?
So, I mean, there's quite a few that have happened. So one thing about momentum that I try and tell people is that you're going to be wrong a lot, which means you might enter, let's say, 10 stocks, and you should expect in the long term almost 50% of your entries to not give you great returns.
Oh, it's exactly
your returns are going to come from the 50, from the other 50%. Out of those, some will give you very outsized returns. So that is something that's not very easy to process for a lot of investors, because if you're used to getting most of your answers right on your exams, then the idea that you're going to be wrong 50% of the time is quite uncomfortable for a lot of investors. So from my experience, so you know, a couple of few stocks that have done exceptionally well. So in the 2021 time frame, we had stocks like Tata Elxsi, Persistent, Varun Beverages that entered the portfolio, and then they stayed in the portfolio for, you know, more than a year and gave us, you know, almost went up 2x or 1.5x over that period of time. If I were to think about stocks which are currently in the portfolio, there's PFC, there is REC, which pretty much would be part of any momentum portfolio at this stage. These are again stocks which are lenders to the utility sector, very much PSU stocks. If you look at their price history, they did pretty much nothing from the time that they listed in terms of giving any price return for close to 10 years. And then sometime in late 2022, early 2023 is when they started to move. And that's when they entered our portfolio, and they've been there since. So they've been in the portfolio for close to a year now, and in that period they've gone up more than 2x in that time. Right. Which and to me that is a clear strength of the momentum approach, because these are not stocks that any fundamental investor would have picked, because literally for 10 years we had done nothing. PSU stocks trading at very low price multiples, but a momentum strategy, since it doesn't care where a stock is coming from, it identifies these and then enters those without trying to apply any discretionary filters to it.
Right. So when you exit a stock, what do you look at? Like, how do you know that this stock is where the momentum has already played out and we shouldn't enter that?
So what we are doing as a momentum investor is you're looking at the universe relatively. So you at any given point in time want to be invested in the strongest momentum stocks. So if you were to think of your list of 500 stocks and you order them by their 12-month or 6-month return, then that list will keep changing. Yeah. As some stocks gain momentum, some stocks will have gone up, let's say 50% over the last 6 months. From there, they slow down.
Yeah, right. Got it.
If they slow down, they stay in the portfolio till the point that something else does not make a stronger case to be in the portfolio.
Right.
So if something else now overtakes those existing stocks in the portfolio is when your existing stock becomes candidate for exit. In order to manage churn, you might hold them for a while before you decide to exit them. But the whole idea is relatively, since the ranking is relative, the replacement automatically sort of make their case to enter the portfolio, which means you have to exit something.
Right. And the next question to you is, what are some macroeconomic factors in the market which influence the momentum investing decisions?
So the whole core idea of momentum investing is to not be discretionary, which means not try to predict where the market is going to go or what kind of environment is going to be, but to react to whatever is happening. So typically what happens is in let's say, since the stock market moves in cycles, right? So every 3 years or so, there's a significant bull market followed by maybe a flattish period or a period of decline. So in let's say a bullish period or a risk-on environment, typically investor appetite is for mid and small caps. So that's where momentum seems to be higher. So a momentum portfolio tends to be in mid and small caps at that time. And you can be fairly aggressive in taking your positions, because you know that it's going to do pretty much anything you enter is going to do pretty well. Slightly more conservative or maybe more defensive environments is when the small and mid cap tend to correct the most. And that's when you'll probably automatically shift into the large caps, because the large caps are low volatility. And that's where in risk-off environments, you'll typically sort of start to allocate more towards large caps and reduce allocation to mid and small caps. So that's the automatic move across market caps and sectors that tends to happen if you adopt a momentum kind of investing approach, where, for example, current momentum portfolios, we own a bunch of PSUs. If you would go back 3 years, PSUs were not showing momentum at all. So there would have been no exposure to PSUs at that time. It would have been mostly in more consumer and pharma stocks. So the power of momentum is you're not trying to guess where the market is going. You're literally just looking at which sections of the market are showing more relative strength and then going to those. Whether that is you know, pharma, whether that's mid small caps, large caps, it almost doesn't matter. And then if you have strong risk management where, like in broad market corrections, you have clear rules saying that once the stocks break below a certain price threshold, they all exit the portfolio. And as long as you don't find other stocks which meet criteria, you don't enter them.
Yeah.
So in that case, you're going to stay in cash or you're going to go to alternate assets.
Alternate assets, so, like you mentioned before.
Yeah.
Okay. And the next question to you is, Anup, what advice you would have for investors looking to implement a strategy in their portfolios?
So one is you would want to understand the underlying philosophy of momentum investing and not look to invest in it because it's done well over, let's say, the last 6 months. So you do want to understand what is it that makes momentum work and what is the likelihood that it's going to continue working, right? So there are lots of academic papers out there which have examined momentum in the global markets. Some were published in the early 90s, and then since then, lots of other research has happened, which has basically examined momentum across multiple markets, multiple asset classes, and has found momentum tends to exist or has tended to do pretty well over a fairly long period of time. So once you're convinced that, yes, momentum is a way that I do want to invest, then maybe look at how has it worked in the Indian context. So we did some research and published a paper back in 2017 about momentum Indian equity markets. So we had you know, examined it in India before we kind of started investing ourselves. And it turns out momentum has worked pretty well in India as well. Now you come to what is the best way to actually do the investing, right? So one is you could obviously do this yourself. Look at the price history of stocks, rank them in descending order, and then look at, you know, holding these portfolios for periods of time. The other is there are momentum indices. There is a Nifty 200 Momentum 30 index. There is a Midcap 150 Momentum 50 index, which focuses on the midcaps. So those both those have a reasonable amount of price history going back. There are also mutual funds and ETFs that invest in those indices. There's a UTI Nifty 200 Momentum 30 index fund. There is a Motilal Oswal. ICICI has a fund that invests in the Nifty 200 Momentum 30. So any of those could be potential ways to start investing in a momentum kind of a strategy. There's also a couple which invest in the Midcap 150 Momentum 50 index. So those are the passive ways. There are also a couple of active funds. I think there's one by Sampo. There is one by Quant. I don't really know what the underlying rules are, but then they also say that they follow a momentum style of investing. So those would be some ways of just getting exposure to momentum, just to understand how it works and whether it is for you, you know, depending on how it does over, you know, 6, 12, 18 months or so.
Right.
Then the alternate ways are obviously there are PMSs that offer quantitative momentum strategies. At Capital Mind, we've been doing that. We've been doing a momentum portfolio for over 5 years now, done reasonably well. So that's another way of getting exposure to a momentum style strategy. And there are some small cases that do momentum investing as well. And unless you also want to do your own research and do your own investing, that also can be done. There's a book called Quantitative Momentum. That was published by this gentleman called Wes Gray. And he kind of lays out a fairly straightforward way of how you would implement your own momentum investing strategy. So it's a fairly easy read. So that could be one way to kind of understand how to implement your own momentum investing.
Right. So these are some products which people can look at. As Anup mentioned, if you don't have, you know, much time to have your own portfolio, so there are enough products available in the market to get exposure to momentum strategy. And last but not the least, Anup, I want to you know, take us through some insights and lessons that you have learned from your investing experience so far.
So I think the biggest insight is to be patient and is to be humble, in the sense that the market won't give you returns just because you want them. The market does what it does, and then only by staying kind of consistently invested will you get the returns.
So
what we have seen even in our back tests as well as live performance is that roughly 1/3 of the time, if you were to look at momentum's returns over a 1 year rolling period, you will underperform. So 1 in 3 years, you're going to be trailing the index on a 1 year rolling basis.
Okay.
If you increase your holding period to 3 years, then the chances that you will trail the index kind of fall to about 11%, just from a probability point of view. And if your holding period goes to 5 years, then it's almost 100% sure that you're going to be outperforming the index. So your returns will only come from being consistently invested in it, as opposed to trying to time it. We've done, the holy grail would be to know exactly when momentum is about to start working and know exactly when it's about to stop working. But unfortunately, so far, it doesn't look like anyone's actually cracked it. I mean, we've looked at international research. Yeah. We've looked at India. We've tried to apply various different ways of saying, okay, when is momentum looking completely gone and therefore we should exit it and invest in some other style. Unfortunately, there's no given way of doing it. So therefore, the only way to get your returns is from saying that I'm going to invest at least for, let's say, 3 years. And then, you know, I'm going to consistently invest for that period of time. And only after that am I going to review whether this works or not, which can be pretty hard for a lot of people, right? And the other learning is it often invests in what I would call ugly stocks. So there are stocks which have certain associations with them, right? If I tell you Asian Paints, you're going to say, yes, very high quality company, great business, etc. If I tell you BHEL, then not so much, because it's a PSU stock, works in the industrial sector. It doesn't have the right kind of connotations, right? So at different points in time, you're going to own these stocks, which are not, which won't look great in terms of telling people that this is what I own in your portfolio. But what I've learned is to not question the model too much and not try and apply my own perceptions or about a company to decide whether this goes into the portfolio or not. So that's pretty hard to do if you are used to picking stocks based on discretionary analysis and you're looking for great companies only. And obviously, like I mentioned earlier, right, you're going to be wrong a lot.
Yeah.
Over a 15-year back test, including plus 5 years of actual live performance, what we've seen is if you enter 20 stocks, 10 of them will not give you great returns. Returns will come from the 10. The 10 which don't give you returns will exit the portfolio not having done much. And that's going to be consistent across rebalances, which is, again, meaning that you're literally long 50% of the time, which is hard to stomach for a lot of folks, right? It's like, you know, why can't I just avoid those 50% wrong stocks? But again, the whole idea is the portfolio approach. You're picking a set of stocks and then you're counting on a small set of them to give you your returns overall. And being able to sort of trust that process is probably hard for a lot of people. And I guess last but not least is it's going to get written off from time to time. Any style of investing, all investing styles tend to be cyclical. So the investing will for a certain period of time and then for some period it doesn't do at all. Same with value, same with growth, and similarly with momentum. So there will be periods of time.
Right. So is this cycle for momentum, or what would you say? Like, is today the cycle?
So look, let's look at the recent past, right? So 2020 and 21 were great for momentum. 2022 was not good for momentum. Momentum strategies across the board were flat to mildly negative, nothing disastrous, while the Nifty was up. And then 23, again, momentum has made a comeback. You know, it's actually doing pretty well. So at this point, we are sitting on rolling returns of close to 70% over the last year, which is obviously a great time. Yep. Whether or not it will continue for another 18 months before it slows down, or whether it's going to sort of slow down now, it's impossible to tell. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So the advice I always give to our clients is just stay invested.
Exactly.
And then let the cycle sort of play out and for you to get the returns.
Right. So Anup, I'm done with the questions. If you have any thing to say more, you can just go ahead. And thank you so much for your valuable insights today. I'm looking forward to have more conversations with you like this. Yeah.
No, this is a pleasure, Anil. And I think overall, it is about how curious you get about a particular style, right? And that's what takes you down the rabbit hole of exploring it and understanding more about it. So my advice to anyone is just read more about momentum if you're interested in it. There is a lot of literature out there. We've compiled a lot on our site, under a post called Understanding Momentum Investing, which has links to various other resources, not just ours, but global research.
So this research is available on Capital Minds website?
Yes, it is. And we've put out links and we've put out the key excerpts of all of that research to say, you know, what is this research saying? What did it examine? And you'll find that momentum is actually one of the most researched, validated styles of investing. Going back, which is quite surprising to a lot of people, but given that it has that underlying rigor in the research and the findings is what gives me the confidence that this is the kind of thing that's going to keep doing well over the long term. So it's about finding trust in a certain style of investing and then being able to commit to it at least for a certain period of time.
Sure. So again, thank you so much, Anup, for coming today, joining us in this conversation.
Thanks, Anil. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. If you want to know more on this topic, you can reach out to me on my Twitter, which is @PosteAnil, or on LinkedIn using my full name, Anil Poste. We will be happy taking your suggestions. Thank you for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.